is different.
Dalet Menachem Av, Monday the 16th of July, Rabbi Avraham Katz, rebuilding your own Beis HaMikdosh.
A very good morning to everybody. It's always a pleasure to be here in London and to have an opportunity to speak at Start the Day of the Torah Away to the massed crowds who are struggling to find a place. Everybody knows that we're now in a period of the 9 days, and the 9 days is no joking matter. It's a serious business. We're not only commemorating the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we're seeking positive ways and strategies to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. That means it's not just a commemoration, it's an active avoido to try and identify the causes of the second Beis HaMikdash's destruction in order to see how we can rectify it. So despite the title, I didn't feel bound by the title, and therefore I'd like to rename the title Strategies for Avas Chinam, for rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, given that Bai Sheni was destroyed, as the Gemara tells us in Yuma, because of Sinas Chinam. So therefore we need strategies to try and activate and encourage and increase our level or awareness of Avas Chinam in order to do something positive and realistic to hasten the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash b'meirah b'yameinu. So I'd like to bring various sources from the Torah, where from the Torah we can see how the Torah encourages us to do this particular task. So the first source is in Parashas Vayigash, where the Torah tells us, Vayipoil al Savare Binyamin Ochiv Vayefko Binyamin Bocho al Savarov. So we find the reconciliation between Yosef and Binyamin after 22 years of separation. The Torah tells us that Yosef fell on the necks, plural, Savore Binyamin, as Rashi explains, and of his brother, and cried, Binyamin Bochal Savorov. And Binyamin cried on Yosef's neck, singular. So Rashi says, Al Shnei Mikdoshes Shosidin Li Yos Bechelke Shal Binyamin Vesof Lichorev. So Yosef, with the prescience of Ruach HaKodesh, understood that two Bote Mikdosh, which were going to be in the territory of Binyamin, would be destroyed. And therefore he cried, and Binyamin cried on Yosef, before Yosef, because of the Mishkan in Shiloh, which would be in the territory of Yosef, that would be likewise destroyed. Rabbi Cheskel Mikuzmir, Zecher Tzedlibrocha. He didn't think it was a laughing matter. Anyway, so Rabbi Cheskel Mikuzmir, he asks Akasha, he says, why are they crying Dafka then? Why are they crying on the Bote Mikdosh? Why punk to that particular moment? And why is each one crying for the other? So he says a very clever answer, a very chokhmistic answer. He says that they had been separated by 22 years. For 22 years. Those 22 years had been caused by sinas achim, the fraternal dissent and the causeless sinner between the brothers. There may have been justification, but nevertheless it was bechinom, as we know. And then Yosef and Binyamin, and they had been separated, these brothers who hadn't been involved really, for 22 years had been separated. And they, with Ruach HaKodesh at that particular time, saw what could be the consequences of Sinas Chinam in the future. In the future, the Sinas Chinam could cause the Churban of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdosh. And therefore, at that particular moment, they looked ahead and they saw the consequences and the terrible catastrophes that could happen through Sinas Chinam. And that's why it punked at that particular moment. So they thought, together, what can we do to remedy and to rectify Sinas Chinam? And that is Avas Chinam. Avas Chinam means I think for you and you think. I cry for you and you cry for me. I think of you, you think of me. And that is how we, and that is one of the, so the Torah is telling you, so the Torah here is telling you the consequence of Sinas Chinam, and it's telling you, and the Torah is telling you a remedy for Sinas Chinam. Avas Chinam. So what does Avas Chinam mean, Lamaisa? So there is the two Eitzes. Eitzah number one of Avas Chinam is Azoi. Rabbi Cheskel Mikuzmi adds on that there's a chazal that says, Kol ha-masameh chosin rekale, ki ilu bono echod mechurbas Yerushalayim. That anybody who participates in the simcha of a chosin rekale, it's as if you built one of the churbanos Yerushalayim. Why pung the churbanos Yerushalayim? Why is it a consequence of helping a chosin rejoice? And the answer, he says, is because whether it's usually a Shavu Brachos, the Shavu Brachos, we see that more. Shavu Brachos is one of those events where, in it, truthfully, nobody wants to be at. The person who's making the Shavu Brachos would rather not have to make the Shavu Brachos. To turn your house upside down, the expense. The people who are invited to a Shavu Brachos, of course, you're gracious, so nice of you. They don't really want to invite you. You don't really want to come. And everybody's coming because they don't want the other person to feel bad. And not only that, the chosin and the kala, they can't be bothered. The chosin and the kala, they've got each other. They're not interested in anybody else. They're the newly married couple. They can't be bothered listening to yet more droshes and more embarrassing gramen from the little brother who wants to reveal all the secrets to everybody who can't wait to hear them. And everybody's moicha. It's mamash, an exercise in avas chinom. And that's avas chinom because nobody really wants it. It's totally l'shem shemaim, the whole exercise. And therefore that's why ke'echon, ke'ilu bono echon mechur b'nais Yerushalayim. That is, avas chinom is the rebuilder of Yerushalayim. Another eitzah which I want to tell you, which is practical for everybody, is every Shabbos b'liayin norat klal Yisrael grows, there are simchas and there are kiddushim. So therefore, which kiddush do you go to? So everything is relative. And Gates said, if you live two streets away, it's already, it can't be bothered, it's so far away. And nothing is far. Here in London, of course, it's different. So wherever you are relative to your situation, to push yourself to go to a kiddush that you wouldn't normally have gone. And you don't necessarily know the people, simply to wish somebody a mazel tov. Not punkt, I don't even know who they are. You know, once upon a time, you went in the street, and you knew everybody, you know the story. And now nobody, the kehillah's grown so much, I don't even know people who they are. Punkt to go to that kiddush. But that can have interesting consequences. Recently I went to a kiddush, I saw the name, and I saw the address, and I went there. But I wasn't sure what it was. I wasn't sure, was it birth of the girl, was it bar mitzvah? So I saw the young man standing behind the table. I thought it was a bar mitzvah. So I said, Mazel tov, and you're a bar mitzvah. He said, I'm the chosen. So you never quite know. It doesn't matter. The ikkar is you push yourself to go even to one that you wouldn't have gone otherwise. L'shem shamayim avas chinom. And who knows what the good consequences can be. The next source I want to bring from the Torah is a powerful source. It says at the end of Shoftim there's a mitzvah Egla Rufa. And there the Torah tells us that when you find a corpse between two cities and you don't know who the perpetrator of this heinous crime was, then you've got to measure and the dayanim of the nearest town have got to come and they've got to wash their hands over the Egla Rufa. And they've got to say, V'onu v'omru, and they've got to say with a loud voice, Yodeinu loy shofchu es adom azeh v'einenu loy ro'u. Our hands didn't spill this blood, and our eyes didn't see. Rashi says, V'chi olsa al leiv shezikne based in shofchi dom heim. Why do they need to exonerate themselves? Would it enter your mind that they are the perpetrators of the crime? What it means is, Ela loy re'inuhu patronuhu b'loy mezeinus. We never knew that this person had come into town, that we should have given him repast and that we should have accompanied him on his way. Therefore, we feel free from any responsibility. So the shaila is, Zoe, why should it be that not offering him help, assistance, and not accompanying him on his way should be in any way responsible for this person's demise? So the Maharal, if you have a look in the Gura Aryeh, he says, Amira dikazach, mamashi yisoid. He says, Azoi. The Torah tells us in Shoftim earlier, it says, when people go to war, several categories of people have to be sent home. So it says, Miu isha shebona bais chodosh v'loi chanochoi. Anybody who's built a new house and hasn't consecrated it, which means you haven't affixed the mezuzahs to the house, then, yelech v'yosho leveso, you should go home. Pen yomus b'milchoma, in case you die in the war, v'ish acher yachnechenu, and somebody else will take the house that you've painstakingly built, and somebody else will live there. Says Rashi, v'ish acher yachnechenu, v'dovo shel agmas nefesh uzeh. That is something that can cause a person anguish. So what that it causes you anguish. What's so terrible about being caused anguish to, or having anguish caused to yourself in a matter of war? So he says, a yisoid. He says, imagine that this person goes to war. Well, everybody who goes to war knows that if you're pragmatic, you won't buy a return ticket. Because how do you know that you're going to come back? So when a person goes to war, you can imagine that you go for brochas to your Rebbe, and with all segulas, and you go to a keristir, and you go do everything that you can possibly do in order to vouchsafe your safety. So when the person goes to war, he goes in a good mood. That means that he goes in a mood of merits, of confidence. He's got all the brochas, he's got the segulas, he's got the shlech mitzvah money, he's got everything possible to give him confidence that he's going to survive the war. And so therefore, when a person has got confidence, as a maral, he's got good mazel. His mazel is good. And then all of a sudden, he thinks to himself, I haven't consecrated my house. Maybe the ish acher yachnechenu. Maybe another person is going to live in my house. And that causes him agmas nefesh. That thought causes him anguish. And that thought of anguish, that reverses his mazel. That turns his mazel upside down. All of a sudden, he's worried. All of a sudden he's got an anguish, he's got a feeling of melancholy, and that feeling of melancholy that somebody else may live in his house, that reverses his mazel. His mazel is now bad, and therefore that man is now in danger. You're in danger, go home. A person who's got bad mazel is a risk to himself and a risk to others. Go home, it's an amazing thing. And therefore you send him home. So before we go to explain how this refers to the man who was killed in between two towns. Corroborates something I heard from my Rebbe Matzior Shlita, who said in the name Lahavdil of his Rebbe Rebellia, he says, often Rashi says, Ki afsotun mekatreg b'shras ha-sakona, that when a person is in a state of danger, or in a place of danger, the sotun is mekatreg. So what defines a place of danger? How do you define? He's going on an aeroplane, a mokum sakona. He says it depends on the person. If you think it's a dangerous situation, then for you it's a mokum sakona. So therefore there are two types of people on the plane. There are people who are always looking out the window to make sure that the wings are still there. And there are other people who they sit on the plane, they fall asleep before they've been through the safety procedures. So for the person who's looking, who's desperately anxious and worried about every bump, and every turbulence, for him it's a mokum sakona, because his mazel is a bad mazel at that particular time. For the person who's quite blasé about flying, he's a frequent flyer, and we hope the pilot's one of those type of people, then he's a confident person, and for him the mazel is good. You see that, for example, with ice skating. The people with confidence, sort of hurl themselves and they go, they're not going to fall. It's the person who's full of trepidation, then he's the one who's going to fall, because for him the mazel is bad. But coming back to the visitor, so here is a man who comes into town. He doesn't know anybody, and he's full of confidence. Surely people will look after him, he'll be well treated. So his mazel is a good mazel. All of a sudden he finds himself in a town and not a single person says hello to him. Nobody looks after him. Nobody takes an interest in him. And slowly but surely his mazel degenerates and he feels more and more like a shmata. I'm a nobody. Nobody cares for me. I am a nobody. And as somebody who is a nobody, his mazel is a bad mazel. And therefore when he now leaves the town, he's vulnerable, he's fragile, because nobody's paid him any attention. And therefore he's vulnerable to attack. Masha Eken, he would have had a good mazel if they would have looked after him. Then he would have gone with a confidence and he would have been able to defend himself. And that's why the Beis Din have to come along and say, we never knew he was in the town. So therefore we're not responsible. So therefore we see from there is a mitzvah of Leviyah. When it comes to those people who busy themselves with Achnosas Orachim, you have to know that the mitzvah of Leviyah means to accompany your visitor and make sure he's safe on the way. And it's an interesting thing that we find that with Yosef HaTzadik, it's a reality. Right? Yosef HaTzadik says, "Vayidabru elov es kol divrei Yosef asher dibru aleihem, vayares agolois." And Yaakov Avinu saw the agolois asher sholach Yosef, which Yosef saw, not Paro's agolois, but Yosef's agolois, which pasuk in Parashat Vayigash. Rashi says, "Simon mosar lehem bameh hoya oisek." The last halacha they learned together before they parted was the mitzvah of Egla Rufa. So they wipe punk that mitzvah. So the Baal HaTurim brings from the Bereshis Rabbo, he says, Leviyehu ad Chevroin, the Yaakov Avinu accompanied his son Yosef till Chevroin. Omalei, Abu Chasabach, Daddy, go back, you can go back, why are you taking me all away? Omalei, Omalei Ksiv, it says, it's going to say in the Torah, Yodein Eloi Shovches, Adam Hazeh, Shaloi Pitrunu, Beloi Leviyo, I've got a mitzvah to do, I've got to accompany you on your way, I've got to see you safe on your way. And so was that Matzliach? That means using the formula of accompanying somebody his way gives him merits and gives him confidence and makes him feel looked after and vouchsafed, and that has an impact on his future safety. Did that happen with Yosef? Oh yes, it did. It says, he came on that crucial day, he came back home, Lasois Malachtoi, to Rav and Shmuel, Chadoma Malachtoi Mamash, he went to do his accounting, Vachadoma Loisa Lasois Trochov Imo, he was going to succumb to the powerful temptation. And what stopped him? El Shaniris Loita Mustiog Neshal Oviv. He suddenly saw a projection of his father. He saw his father. What made him suddenly think of his father at that crucial moment when he might have succumbed and committed a series of Avera which would have blotted him out of Klal Yisrael forever? The answer is he knew his father loved him. How did he know his father loved him? Because his father had accompanied him on his way. I want you to know I'm with you all the way. So you can see that it's a dover mamash. When you accompany somebody on the way, you're saying, I'm thinking of you, I am with you. And that can change the whole mazel of the person, as we find in Yisrael Tzadik. So it's a raya brura from the Torah that accompanying somebody on their way is vital. So practically speaking, this is avas chinum. This is showing a person you care for him. Everybody feels they are somebody. And I have to tell you that if I dabble a little bit in Chnosis Orochim, so therefore when I learned this 2 or 3 years ago, that means when I understood, usually when it was Revei, you have Meshulachim, so Meshulach, it's Boruch Atah B'Vayach, or Boruch Atah B'Tzeisech. So Vishen, you're going fine, all the very best. I never took them to the destination. That means And I started saying, right, I'll give you a lift. Where are you going from the station? I'll take you to the station. I'll take you to the bus station. I'll take you to the airport. And B'li'ai Narav, from that time, it's not self-praise, it's a fact, Kamat every single situation in a sort of a busy schedule, I've always managed to take them. And it saved their life many times. Saved their life, not literally, but allegorically, in which way? You say, you get an Israeli mashulach, And he says, "Ken, ani olech ala autobus, is it autobus?" So he doesn't know which bus. There are two bus companies. There's Megabus, there's National Express, and more than once I've taken him to the National Express, and there's no bus. Show me your ticket. It's a megabus on the other side of the city. He wouldn't have a clue how to get there, this poor guy. He can't even read English, let alone speak English. And he'd be lost, who knows, he'd still be wandering around Newcastle at Ayoyim Hazeh. So it's a moira dikazach to take them, manage to take them. There are Israeli mishalachim who can't read English. They don't need English. They seem to get around marvellously, but the fact is they can't speak English. So you take them to the train, And you find out which platform it is. That is the mitzvah Leviyah. That is what the Torah says. I know myself. I was once in Moscow. I stayed at somewhere on a Friday night, and the balabos walked 2 hours to take us back to the hotel where we were staying. And that is the mitzvah Leviyah. I said, "What?" He said, "That's the mitzvah. That is the mitzvah." So there we see the mitzvah Leviyah. You can mamash save people's life with that particular. It's a mitzvah of avas chinam. And then, as a corollary for that, something which affects every single person is something amazing that we have to be aware of. It says in Megillas Rus, "V'hinei boyaz bomi beis lechem v'yom elokaitzrim Hashem imochem v'yom ruloi yivarechecho Hashem." So the Novi, the Megillah, tells us seemingly irrelevant details. Irrelevant detail. He said to them, "Good morning." He said to them, "Good morning." My nafkamina, what he said to them. So the Mishnah, you all know the Mishnah at the end of Brochus. Hinei is a chidush. Boyas tikein sheyishal odom eshlon chaver b'shem. Boyaz was Masakin at that particular time, that when you greet somebody, it should be, like he said, he said to them, Hashem Imochem, Yudkei Vovkei, he said, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch should be with you. Aye, what about, Loisisha Hashem, Hashem Elokech HaLashov, Eis Laseis Lashem Heferis Eresecho. It was a crucial time, it was a time of great data, of whatever it was, the Eis Laseis Lashem. And therefore, he was a Masakan that you should greet people with Hashem's name, and the Megillah tells us that Hashem Imochem Yurech Hashem, and they responded in the same way. What's it all about? Why did they do that? So I heard from Reb Matzion Shlita. He said, "Azoi, we know that it was a time. Chazal tell us it was a time of people were porots begneva. How do we know that? That Boyaz slept at the granary, slept there because he was the burglar alarm. He himself was the burglar alarm." And so therefore it was a time. So what when people steal from each other, how do they justify the fact that it's okay to steal? And the answer is, I am somebody and he's a nobody. I've got my needs and you're a nobody, you're a random guy. So if you're a random guy, then I can steal from you and it's justified because my needs, I'm me and I'm an important person and you are the random guy, so therefore I can steal from you, it's okay. So therefore, if that's the justification for people stealing, my need is greater than your need, because you're less important. So therefore, Boyaz was Masakin, that every single person is created B'Tzelem Elokim. There's no such thing as a random guy. The Chaviv Odom Shenivra B'Tzelem, every human being is created B'Tzelem Elokim. Every human being. Chaviv Odom, says Rabbi Akiva. Odom means anybody. Odom, like Odom Arisha. Because created B'Tzelem Elokim. And then Chaviv in Yisrael, Yisrael has got a greater, because he's Bonim Atem Lashem Lekechem. Because everybody, and everybody, I'll tell you something that you about yourselves, everybody thinks that they're special. And do you know why everybody thinks that they're special and Choshev? Because they are. Because everybody's unique. Your fingerprints, your iris, your voice, your DNA, everything. And not only that, in the Avodah that you do, nobody else can do your Avodah. You all know the Rabbi Dessler of Mincha Chadosho, in the Mincha Chadosho of Shavuos, the Mincha Chadosho. What is it? He says, what is Mincha Chadosho? What is this Korban Mincha Chadosho? He says, Ein Chodosh Tachas HaShemesh. There's nothing new. Yesterday, half the world were excited that France won, and the other half were hoping that Croatia would win. And Ein Kol Chodosh Tachas HaShemesh. You're old enough to remember 1966. So 1966 England won. So where it? So Ein Kol Chodosh, the football game here and a football game here. So what's different? The names, the faces of the people and the nationality of the players. But Ein Kol Chodosh, the same ball, same game. Nothing new about it. The same guy that's drinking the beer in the pub. It's the same goy that in medieval times drank the same beer from the same tankard. Ein Kol Chodosh, in the world of Gashmias, there's nothing new. In the world of politics, entertainment, the faces and the names are different. But it's the same kin of our time, of our covered mitzvah as Odom in Oilo. Nothing new. A newspaper is not new. It's not new. The news is not news. What is new? Avodas Hashem is new. Because there's nobody like you in every single way. You with your circumstances, you with your personality, you with your nisyonos, you with your challenges, you with your uniqueness. Nobody can replicate or duplicate your avodah. That is Mincha Chadosho. That is the greatness of every yid. Every yid is irreplaceable because nobody can do your avodah. So that being the case, everybody feels that they are new. So therefore, will you please validate me? Will you please recognize? Everybody wants validation. Everybody wants recognition. And that being the case, and that's why Boyaz was Masakin, that everybody should greet each other b'shem Hashem to validate them. Hashem loves you. Yevrechecho yudkei vavkei. So we don't do that, but nevertheless, the choiv of greeting everybody is vital. There are milas and chisroinas of living in England. One of the chisroinas of living in England has become English, and we adopt English characteristics by stealth. So one of those is, you don't talk to somebody unless you've been introduced. So you can be looking at somebody and I can't talk to you, I can't open the conversation because we haven't been, we're waiting for somebody to say, may I introduce you? So the late Rabbi Miller, Rabbi Motcha Miller, used to say that the English characteristic is best typified in a story which probably never happened, of two people who were crossing the Atlantic on the Queen Mary. So they were sitting across the table from each other. Day one, they didn't even look at each other, these two people. Day number two, there was a fleeting eye contact, but just for a moment, because any more would have been embarrassing. And number three, one of them decided to open the conversation, leaned conspiratorially across the table and said, going across? Going across, it was a boat. So that being the case, we've got to know that a Yid mustn't be like that. A Yid has got to go to somebody and say, Shalom Aleichem. Like Boaz, Shalom Aleichem, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu be with you. So here we are in a beautiful shul, and I'm sure you get loads of visitors. So therefore, I'm going to tell you five madrigas in giving Shalom Aleichem. Five madrigas in giving Shalom Aleichem. Number one, so what is normal, and I may be wrong, and forgive me if I'm wrong, there's a minhag that you say Shalom Aleichem to somebody you know. But somebody you don't know, I don't even know him, I should go and say Shalom Aleichem to him. Ah, Shalom Aleichem, Chaim, been away for Shabbat, missed you for Shabbat. So the Shalom Aleichem goes to the people who you know. It's like when somebody benches Goymel, you assume that Mazel Tov, no, I've come out of prison, actually. So that means there's an assumption. So when you haven't seen somebody, Shalom Aleichem, you know that person. That's Madriga number one. Madriga number two, you even say Shalom Aleichem to people who you don't know, but not smiling. That means you give him a hand like a wet kipper, and you don't smile. I've seen it. Somebody goes, Shalom Aleichem. No smile, no hint of a smile, like a threat, like a belligerent, like an aggressive Shalom Aleichem, what you're doing in my shul. And then number three is have a Mekabelis Kol Ha'odom. Save upon him your voice. You go to everybody and you say Shalom Aleichem with a smile. That's Madriga number three. Madriga number four is you even do that to Mashalochim, who's standing by the door. That's why every shul has got two doors. Anyway, standing by the door, and you say Shalom Aleichem to the Mashalach. And number five, which is the Spitz Madriga, you say to the Mashalach, Shalom Aleichem, have you got anywhere to stay? Because there's a danger, he might say no. So that is a tremendous madriga. That's what the Torah wants us to say. That's what the Torah wants us to do. And I just want to say with this, but did he have it uvda? You've got to be a mashulach to know how to treat a mashulach. So once I was in a town, I'm not going to even tell you the country. I was davening there for 5 days. For 5 days, and not a single person came to wish Shalom Aleichem. No. So I was done with kaschus, like we have to be. The shul was full of mashulachim. So nobody knew who was a mashulach and who wasn't a mashulach. That's how it was done with kafschus. Anyway, so there's no limit to one's imagination. So the fact is that I kept a diary of my trip there, my fundraising trip, and I wrote down in my diary, I can now understand the importance of saying Shalom Aleichem. Nobody knows, nobody comes to you, nobody's interested in you, you're a nobody, you feel like, you mamish, you feel like a shmata. How do they know you haven't been sleeping in the shop front all night, in the doorway all night? So I wrote down in my diary that night, and now I understand the importance of going to greet people you don't know with a Shalom Aleichem and asking them if you can help them in any way. So then, the next morning, I was going to a different shul, and a fellow came out of his pathway, he said, Shalom Aleichem, he said, Shalom Aleichem. He says, can I give you a lift anywhere? I said, it's okay, I'm not going far. He said, I want to give you a lift. So I got in the car, I said, why did you do that? I said, I want you, and he asked me where I'm from. He said, I wanted you to know that even in this country, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. Even in this country, Hashem is with you. That was like a my face. Mama said the next thing, because I'd written back, Shalom Aleichem means Hashem is with you. Shalom is the name of Hashem. Hashem is with you. That is the greeting. And therefore, that's the importance of saying Shalom Aleichem. And similarly, there are madrigas in when you've got visitors. Number one, how can you sit? I always think, how can you sit down? We're talking about Avas Chinom. We're coming to the end of this drosha. How can you sit down if there's somebody standing next to you because he hasn't got a chair? I'm all right, Jack. I've got my chair. I don't have to worry about him. So you worry about somebody who hasn't got a chair. Somebody standing at the back. How can you sit down if there's somebody standing at the back? And the worst madrega is you go to somebody and you say, excuse me, that's my seat. It's happened to me as well. If you want to know how to what to be made feel like an empty crisp packet dumped in the garbage, somebody taps you on the shoulder, coughs right next to your left ear, ahem, and then you're in my seat. Therefore, what we have to do is to greet people with a smile. The greatest avastinum you can do is like Yaakov Avinu said to Yehuda, Leven Shinaim Echolov, Om Rebbe Yechin and Toiva Malbin Shinaim Lachaveiru Yesim Mashkeo Cholov, Gemara in Ksubas. I'll tell you a chiddush on that. The chiddush is that who was it? Smiling at people makes them feel wanted. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to smile. People spend hundreds of pounds getting their teeth white and straight in order that you should be able to smile at somebody and give them pleasure. Who was this bracha given to? Yehuda. Why Yehuda? Yehuda ato yuducha achecho, because Yehuda was the leader. The more important the person, the greater it is for him to smile. And everybody is the head of his family. That means who is everybody waiting to see a smile from? The daddy, the husband, the person in charge. Your smile is more important than anybody else's smile. And therefore, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu help us that with these eitzes, I didn't get to the end, it's all right. With these eitzes, we should be mechazik ourselves and to be marbeh, avo, achvo, vareyus, and through that, be zoicher to the binyan Beis HaMikdash, b'mehir, b'mehir, b'mehir.